So in the modern day church, we got a lot of confusion that needs to be straightened out. I thank God for, you know, government. Thank God for Apostle and kind of teaching us what government is, because government keeps things in order. It keeps things flowing the way they should be. So he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Verse 12, and this is what I'm kind of going to get on. Last week I talked a little bit about what the church, you know, I tell you, the Lord told me we had it all wrong. And we're trying to do a bunch of things that we picked up from, I don't know where we got it from. A lot of things that we picked up and we call it church. A lot of things that we picked up and we incorporated because we were trying to get a lot of people in the building, or because we were trying to do whatever. I think the intention, well, some people had wrong intentions, but I think overall the intention wasn't wrong, but yet you can go about doing the right thing the wrong way. That makes sense to you? You can go about trying to accomplish going somewhere. I mean, yeah, you can be trying to go home tonight, but if you go down the wrong road, then where are you going to end up? Not there, but you're trying to get there. But if you go down the wrong road, then you'll never make it. And so sometimes we're trying to go there, but we might be using the wrong methods and going about it the wrong way. So, you know, last week I was talking about the church. Lord told me, man, the church is a training center. The church, when we come to the church house, no matter what church house you go to, when you come to the church house, it is strictly a training center. It's not a social club. It's not any of those other things that we try to make. I know we get greeters at the front of the church, you know what I'm saying? And we, you know, everybody tell everybody to be friendly and everything. And like I said, it's good to be friendly. But at the end of the day, it ain't about being friends. It's not about all that. I like being friendly. I'm a friendly guy. I know y'all some friendly people. I like to speak. I like to talk to people at the church and do things like that. And all that's cool. And all those are byproducts of what I really came for. I have some friends, man, one of my friends passed away, a couple of friends, I don't even know where they are right now. And, you know, people want to, if I met you at church, then that's our relationship. If I met you at my church, like if we met at church and that's where we met at, and that's what caused us to be linked up in relationship, then that's our base, that's our foundation. Once you leave, then what are we talking about? Once you leave camp, then how are we on the same team? Once you leave the army, you done left the army, so you decided you wanted to go somewhere else, and I'm still in the army. Well, how are we gonna fight together? Bible says that how can two walk together except they, agree. Now, we got to get past this thing too. That just because we all Christians mean everything just honky dory, everything the same. It's not the way. We got to agree. You know, Bible talks about being unequally yoked. We throw that on marriage, but it's a lot of other things. That being unequally yoked. Sometimes we have people in our lives of people that we communicate with, or we spend a lot of time with. I'm not saying don't talk to anybody, but we spend a lot of time with that don't get the vision. And so because they don't get it, you cause yourself to not to be able to function like you need to, because they're not getting trained like you, simply put. And so the Lord told him to train. He said, ain't none of that stuff that y'all thought it was, and all these different things. And you know, you go to church building conferences, you know, they got them all over the place. And it's not hard to build a church at all. Just do what the Lord tells you to do. You see what I'm saying? Be what God tells you to be, and the people will come. How many flyers Jesus sent out? Go look in the gospel. How many flyers he sent out? You know, flyers, right? How many commercials Jesus had? Come on. Come on, we done done all his commercials, flyers, billboards, we done all. But how many he had? None. His ministry was by the word that he said and the acting out of that word that came out of him. And the people were drawn to him. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. That's scripture. You get it? So it's not everything that we try to make it out to be. A lot of churches, social club. A lot of people want a lounge. It's a new church. The new thing they're doing now. They want you to come in, they want to serve coffee, and they want to sit down and have chats and have talks. Ain't nobody time to chat with you. We're about to go to war. What is our chat or our little conversation going to do with this war that's going on out here? You get it? So it's a training center. Everybody say training. Come on, sit again. Everybody say training. Now, you in a training center right now, the Evercrease is a training center, but you're also getting trained at your church. And then also, if you're anytime, anywhere in the ministry, you ought to be trained to be able to train. I mean, that's the way it goes. You learn so that somebody else can learn. You get it? I'm reading the scripture. I want to, verse 12, you read it. Ready to read? 1, 2. Now, perfecting of the saints. So it don't. Perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, edifying the body of Christ. Perfecting of the saints, 1. The work of the ministry, 2. And the edifying the body of Christ, 3. Y'all see that? 3 things, right? Now, I don't see anything about being a hospital. I don't see anything about being an infirmary. I don't see anything about a social club. I don't see anything about a friends and family. I don't see none of that. I see for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Now, when we get to a point where we're going to church and we're doing anything other than those three, then we got a problem, which is why we send so many weak people out of the church, or which is why the climate of the church as a whole, I'm saying, the climate of the church is not as high as it should be because we've been watering it down. And so now we're more friendly than we are forceful. You got it? We're more common than we are convicted. Like, everything just becomes normal. And so they go to church and they call their pastor by their first name. I mean, they're doing things like that. And they, you know, and pastor's okay with it because he wants to relate with the people. God didn't ask you to relate with nobody. Teach my flock. Train my people on what they need to do. If you don't train them, then you're sending them out with no equipment, with no armor, and now they're getting slaughtered all day long. And that's why they're getting slaughtered. My people are destroyed, the scripture. My people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Why? What's the next part? Y'all know the next part, huh? Somebody rejected it. Somebody rejected it. Y'all know who rejected it? Who rejected it? The priest rejected knowledge. So my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But it's not just because they lack of knowledge, because the priest rejected knowledge. How would they learn except they be a teacher? Get it? How would you get trained unless somebody's there to train? So whatever we're doing in ministry, even here at church, I told some of the most solid people at our church, at Word Like Christian, some of the most solid people at our church are people that come here and they could care less whether you speak to them, kiss them on the cheek, shake their hand or not. They didn't come here for you. They didn't come here to see you. They didn't come here to talk to you. Yes, be friendly. That's human. You're supposed to do that at Walmart. Right? You supposed to do that, you get on the bus, wherever you go, you're supposed to do it. Like, that's just human. Like, I know when I was younger, people used to speak to people. They don't speak no more on the road when you're walking down the street. Nobody speaks. You know, you used to say, hey, good morning, how you doing, or something, nod your head. Nobody does that anymore. That's human, though. That has nothing to do with being churchy or nothing. That's just human. Like, you should just smile. Like, you see me smile. Don't look me down all the way to my seat and then don't say nothing. If you know, people do that. I see people in church. Do that. Or if I sit right next to you, tell me something. Hey, what's going on? How you doing? All right. We ain't got to sit there and talk about the game. You ain't got to tell me where you live at and all that. We're not here for that. But I'm saying, hey, good morning. How you doing? Don't wait till the pastor say, shake somebody's hand next to you and tell them you're glad to see him. But that's human. That's not ministry. That's human. That is icing on top of the cake. And when you get down to the bare bottom foundation of it, there should be training going on. There should be training going on for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying. So now we're talking about maturing and perfecting, huh? Huh? We're talking about work. I ain't got to make no translation for that. The work of the ministry, the work. Ministry is spelled W-O-R-K. All right? And edifying, building up. So maturity, work, and building up. None of these sound like social club talk to me. None of these sound like fraternity, sorority, it don't sound like none of that to me. It's maturity. Grow up. We're going to talk about this later on in the chapter, talking about growing up. Don't be tossed about what you, it should be, I remember an apostle told us this years ago, this is before he was even saying apostle, and I think he'd been an apostle way longer time than he'd been using the title, but he would tell us way back, he said, he pastor the church, and he said, I'm going to train you so much that if I go off, you'll know the difference. I'm going to train you so much that if I go wrong, you'll know I'm going wrong. Now, see, they ain't saying that no more. The preachers don't say that. Preachers saying, come, I want you to call me, you know, and you come on all hell, me. You know what I'm saying? They're building their kingdom on earth. No, no, no. I want to train you so that you'll be able to go out. Follow me as I follow Christ. Do as I do. I want to teach you that so that you can do. You can have the same results outside of these walls that we are having inside. You get it? So come on, what's three things? What's number one? What he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers? What he gave for number one? Number two? Number three? So the perfecting of the saints, so the maturing of the saints, and I believe they probably they're in order. For the maturing of the saints, seeing the saints get mature, the saints become mature, the saints know exactly how to handle things, and later on, I can't read it right now, but it goes talking about until we grow up into the measure of the stature of Christ. So the maturing is measured up against Christ. So that means you ain't really mature until you look like him. There's really no maturity until you start functioning like he functions. So now the maturing, all right, the second is the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? Well, now to find out what the work of the ministry is, we got to find out what ministry is. So what's ministry? Putting on suits and ties and dresses and skirts and bringing your Bible and marking up your notepad? What is ministry? To administer. Root word is to pass, it out. So now this maturity, you should be passing it out. But you got to be trained first. So now we're the apostles in the ministry school, right? We're in ministry school, right? The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers are to train the people, right? To be able to administer what's going on. I told them last week, and I'll say it again, that everything that goes on inside the church is a training for what should go on outside. Don't ever forget that. Everything that goes on inside a service is a training for what should go on outside the service. So now where are you going after Sunday service? Even at your house. Even at your friend's house. Even at your job. Even on the bus. Even if you're riding the plane. Wherever you're going, you should be able to duplicate what goes on in the sanctuary on the outside of the sanctuary. Remember, this is a building where a normal place becomes a special place because we as a church are gathered together in his name. You know the Bible says about if we're gathered together in the name, there am I in the midst, right? 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 So we know there's a power in that, the iron sharpened iron. Forsake not assembly of yourself. So amen for that. But whatever happens in there should be duplicated outside. If there's no duplication, you're not being trained. If you can't take the supernatural that's happening on the inside of the building on Sunday morning or Wednesday or whenever your service is and duplicate the thing at your house, then what's the point? The power's inside of you. Huh? Ain't there power on the inside of you? That same power that's operating inside that church is on the inside of you. It ain't no different. So you should be able to duplicate. So now it's training. So now when we're in church, you should be paying attention. This church is you. You should be paying attention to what's going on so I can see how I duplicate this when it's time for me to duplicate this at home. Let's say this happens at home and I ain't got time to call Pastor. I ain't got time to call apostle or prophet or whoever else you want to call. I ain't got time to get in touch with them. What happens then? Can't we not duplicate it? If church is going on like it's supposed to, it's a training center. You should be trained to be able to do so, to pass it out. And then ultimately, the edifying of the body of Christ. So that means it's built up, it's strong. Everybody is doing their part and holding their part. You know, we're going to talk about every joint supply in a minute. Verse 14, that we be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine and sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into what? Grow up into what? Him in how many things? How many things he wants to grow up in? All right, so that takes some work to grow up into Jesus in all things, huh? All things. Think about all things. Your talk and your speech and your finances and your relationships. And how you handle people and your attitudes and your patience and your virtues. And even now we're going to get to the miracles. We like to jump to the miracles when we want to be like Jesus. We want to jump to the miracles. Let's talk to the basic things first. Let's talk to your patience and your love. You know what I'm saying? And your study and your preparation and your away time with the Holy Ghost. Let's talk about those things when we talk about miracles. The miracles are a byproduct of those things. The miracles are all these things will be added. Huh? You know, we get all excited about the miracles and we start shouting, right? But no, the miracles are a byproduct of the power. They're a byproduct of the time that you went away in the garden to pray when you could have been doing whatever it is that you like to do the most. Watching TV, whatever it is that we're doing. Work of ministry is it causes you to go away, and it causes you to separate yourself. If you're not prepared for that, quit today. If you're not prepared to live that kind of life, then this ain't for you. It causes you to separate, and then the miracles and the signs and wonders and the 100% victory that Jesus got is a byproduct of the power that was on inside of him, but that was cultivated, and that was worked on, and he separated himself so that that power could streamline straight through him with no hindrance and no problem. So all of those things, let's talk about all those things for the patience and the training. Now we're talking about training now. The patience and the study time and the prayer time and my love. And can I get some understanding? Can I be submitted? Can I be corrected? Can I be rebuked? I was reading the scripture today about the chastening of the Lord and what it does for you. Can all these things happen? Because if all these things can't happen first, we can't just jump to the supernatural. We can't just jump to you doing miracles. How you going to do that? How you going to jump and use the power because you abuse it? Training. Everybody say training. Come on, say it again, training. And so now, and let me jump back in there. We're about to line, wait to see. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, Christ. So now we're talking about growing up into Christ. Growing up into the anointed one and his anointing. Are y'all with me? From whom the whole body, and it's talking about Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working, underline effectual working. And we've said this before, but we're going to say it again. Yeah? And jump up a line and say, and joint supply. Let me go back. From whom the whole body. No. We're going to underline all these things. Fitly joined together. You see that? Compacted. You see that? Every joint supply. Effectual working in the measure of every part. You see that? In the measure of every part. Make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So it makes increase of the body. Everybody say increase of the body. Everybody say increase of the body. What's the word right before increase of the body, though? Huh? What did it say? Maketh. And you know, we don't say maketh nowadays, but we say makes, right? Makes. What does that mean, though? Like, you caused it. Your doggone near forced it. Your mama made you go to bed. Remember that? How you remember that? Somebody made you. They made you leave. When they say they made you leave, that was like they forced you to leave. You probably didn't want to leave, but I made you leave. I made you stand up. I made you sit down. You see what I'm saying? It causes force. So now it make it. It's no choice. I tried to increase the body. No. It all those things make it increase of the body. So you want the body to increase, you got to handle these things first. You want the body to increase, the whole body got to be fitly joined together and compact by every joint, whichever joint supplies, according to the effectual working. That's one of the most important parts of it. The effectual working in the measure of every part. Y'all get it? In the measure of every part. That makes the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It makes the increase. It makes the increase. We don't have to pray for increase. It makes the increase. We don't have to pray for new members. It makes new members. The new members will not have any choice but to come to the church when all these things are going on. So now you a member of whatever body that you a member. We all the body of Christ. Whatever church you're going to, is your part being effectually measured in the joint? Because if not, pastor ain't the reason people ain't coming to the church. It's us. If I'm not effectually working, because it says it makes increase. It didn't say no. Want to go back again? It ain't say no flies. No, I ain't got nothing against flies. It ain't say no commercials. I ain't got nothing against commercials, right? It ain't say no, but I ain't say none of that. It ain't say no walking in the neighborhoods and passing out tracts. It ain't say none of that. It said the effectual working of the measure of every part. That means you're getting trained. You're receiving and you're getting trained. If you're sitting there, you're getting trained. That is going to make the increase. Why does that make the increase, Montreal? You say, how is it going to make increase? Well, the effectual working really means if you're getting trained, let's go up a couple of verses, if you're getting trained and you're receiving properly, you're receiving everything you should do, then in your training, you duplicate what's on the inside outside, right? So now when somebody see that, the next thing you'll know is where you come from. Who art thou, Lord? This is the first thing Paul asked. Saul, Paul, Saul. And that light came and knocked him off that horse. The first thing he said is, who art thou, Lord? Because he already knew what was going on. That's your witness. You don't have to do your 1-2 punch. You know your 1-2 punch witness? Y'all, know, y'all got a 1-2 punch? Y'all don't have a 1-2 punch? Y'all ain't got no 1-2 punch, huh? So you just, you don't, so what's your lead offline then? What's your lead offline for witnessing? If you ain't got no lead offline, I don't even know if you're witnessing then. What's your lead offline for witnessing? What church you go to? You know we got a little stuff to ease up to. That's not really the easiest thing to do, witnessing like that. You know, we call it cold turkey witnessing. So you put to sit next to somebody on the bus, and then I don't know how this is not insulting to them sometimes, that you're telling them they're not a good person. That's how we witness in the church, right? You're telling them that they're going to hell. That's your lead off? Like, that's the conversation about to be. It may be true, but that's hard to swallow, seeing that I don't know you. How dare you tell me I'm going to hell? You don't know nothing about my life. So that ain't the lead off, but we got our 1-2 punch. What church you go to? But what you know about Jesus? We got to say little stuff like that, right? You go to church? Yeah, we do the little thing like, no. Your witness should precede you. It should go ahead of you. The signs and wonders. I read a thing today and it said Jesus, it's funny how Jesus was, you know, people try to talk about Jesus historically and talk about him in different ways. One of the most powerful things about Jesus was he embodied, listen to what I'm saying, he embodied everything that he said. So that means he wasn't just preaching about it, he was being about it, all right? He wasn't just saying things, he was doing things. The word became flesh. How did the word became flesh? The word became flesh. That means the words became flesh. That means they became alive and right there in front of you, standing in front of your face. It became flesh. It was a manifestation of the word right there in front of your face. It wasn't nothing I read off of nobody's scroll. It wasn't nothing I told you that the pastor told me. It wasn't nothing off of no script. It was live in front of you where you could not deny. People ain't got no problem accepting Jesus. They got a problem accepting us talking about Jesus. See, the problem is we reading scriptures and we quoting things and we saying all this stuff, but ain't no power. See, they become offended. The problem that somebody said the problem that the Jews got with the Christians, but the problem that people got with the Christians is that our doctrine says that God is above all. And is all powerful and almighty and has everything in his hands, but yet we have nothing in ours. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. We struggling to get a check. He is health, but we sick. We can't even lay hands on somebody to get them up out of a wheelchair. When the last time? All right. So now, our witness is dead, so it almost becomes one of the problems people have with the modern day Christian churches. They call us hypocritical, right? But we think we hypocritical because we say one thing and we live in some kind of way. No, we don't have to go that far. It's the fact that we claim in Jesus, the Messiah, the one that did all these miracles, but we don't do any. We don't get any. We don't have any of them showing up, and so it becomes offensive that you. How dare you tell me that I need what you need what you got? When you ain't got nothing. How dare you tell me that you better off than me, but if we look at it, I'm better off than you on this side. See, they can't see nothing else. Can't see nothing else. Like, they just can't see nothing else. They got to see what's going on. You lay hands on one of their children who've been dealing with cancer for a long time, and they clear up. Well, we got to talk after that. It's going to be a phone call. It's going to be a phone call. Listen, I want to come wherever you're going. I don't quite understand everything, but listen, I know that you laid hands on my child, and my child was going to die, and now my child is not dying no more. So just where are you going? Do y'all go to church by the ditch? Because if y'all have service in the ditch, like right in the ditch, if that's where y'all have service at, that's where I'm going to church at this week. Because before, my son was going to die, and after, my son is up and going to live because of something that was on you. What's on us? But see, we don't get nothing on us if we don't get trained. People don't get nothing on them unless we train. You get it? When I say you get it, you say y'all got it. Do you get it? Listen, you say it right after I say you get it. You get it? So now, because you got to get it, all right? So now, it's got to be something going on. So whatever training that happens, I got to talk both sides because we get trained and then we do train, right? We get trained and then we do train. Y'all with me? Come on, you get it? Come on, get it? All right, stick with me now. You get trained and you do train. All right, so now there's something that's going on that makes increase. It don't request for increase. I know we have not, because you have no, it don't request for increase. That's how you have not, ask not, and you see, ask you receive. He really talking about ask me for wisdom. He ain't talking about ask me for no things. You got to come up a little higher. All right, it didn't say believe for increase. So it says, don't, all that stuff leading up to that, it makes increase. Slap your eye, what it's going to do? Swell up, ain't it? Huh? What it going to do? Do we have to pray in tongues for the swell? It just happens, right? It is just a knee-jerk thing that happens. It's an effect of a cause. So it maketh increase when every joint supplies. But every joint can't supply if there's not been, first of all, a perfecting of the saints. You get it? A maturing of the saints. There's got to be a maturing of the saints first. So now all these other things, we do, I ain't got nothing against a lot of this stuff. Have fun, you know. Let's have fun, you know, and let's have a good time. Let's do it all. Let's have fun and have a good time, and we have our get together and stuff like that. Cool. I'm not knocking none of that. Cool, because I like watching the game too, and I like doing all that stuff too. But we must not forget what we're here for. It's very easy. I call them activity churches, and all of us are pushed that way. I'll tell you right here, Word Life, I almost got caught up in it. We all pushed that way because we're activity churches, so we do a lot of stuff. We got a lot of stuff going on because we're trying to keep the people busy. No, we're not trying to keep them. Listen, trust me. Listen, where y'all went today? Think about where you went today. All the places you went, work and wherever you went today. Think about, there's enough out there to do to have to keep you busy otherwise. Ain't there? There's enough out there to do for all of us and all your cousins and all your friends, everybody you got in your phone. That's enough to do for all of us out there for me to have to keep you busy. So what I need to do is train you and then send you on your way. I need to tell you what thus says the Lord, and I need to rebuke the things in you that's wrong, correct the things, reprove, tear down, build up. That's what's supposed to go on, and I send you on your way. I need to tell you like the drill sergeant, get down, maggot, give me 50. Somebody called you maggot at church, you'd have missed the whole service. Nah, huh? You ain't no good right now. Get down and give me 50. Well, we gone now. We'd have been the same ones that left with that 29,000 with Gideon. Training for battle. I don't know if you think, we do a lot of fun things in life. Thank God for fun things. But it's a war out here. And it ain't going to stop when you sleep. It ain't going to stop whenever you take a break. It's not going to stop. And it's coming for our next generation. It's coming for the generation after that. And we got to fight. We've got to fight. We've got to know how to fight to train them how to fight. And then for them to be able to train somebody else how to fight. So we are it's training. Everybody say training. Come on, say it again, training. Come on, church is training. Say it. It's training. It ain't none of us. It ain't coming for you to get your song. And thank God for us to sing our song. But it ain't come for you to do whatever else you do. Everything is training. Everything from the worship time to the offering time to the preaching time to everything is training. If you give on the inside, if you can't give on the inside, then God, how you going to give on the outside? If you can't give, if you can't pay your tithes on a regular, then what did they tell God? Well, I know you ain't going to be giving nothing out there on a regular because you don't do this here. You get it? Do you get it? Y'all better work with me. Get it, got it. Get it, got it. Get it, got it. Do you get it? Got it. So watch this. So now everything inside is training for you to outside. All right? You see how to worship on the inside so you can worship on the outside. All right? And you, all of these things, he give you the word. The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher is giving you the word to point you towards Christ. He's giving you the word to point you towards Christ. Now, when he's left, We don't do no counseling session. What we need to counsel for? Oh. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for edifying the body of Christ. I don't see no counseling sessions there. Y'all see any? No, we'll do counseling sessions because we try to help people. But I can't remember last time we had something at Word Life. I can't remember last time we did it. Because if you come and you sit and you listen and you really receive, it'll train you on how to handle your situation without somebody having to come see you. You get it? I ain't got no power that you ain't got. True or not true? You got the power on the inside of you. So now you ought to be able to duplicate. So when I sat up in church yesterday, and the Lord dealt with me because when he told me, they told me that ministry conference. So now, you know, I sat up in church and I had a certain posture that I was sitting with now. Like, I don't sit with the, you know, you sit up in church, you got your Bible, you know. People sit all kinds of different ways in church, you know. You sit down. I'm not, you know, in church. I'm not even, you know, it's a little better, but I'm not even like this. I was sitting like this yesterday. And I sit up because the Lord said you better have a posture to go for it. He said you need to sit with a posture like you're learning something. Sit with a posture like you're being trained. You don't get trained leaning back. You get trained sitting forward as soon as they call your name. Well, how you sit on the end of the bench? I played basketball in high school. How you sit on the end of the bench? You don't sit on the end of the bench with your leg all laid out. No, you sit on the edge of the bench. You keep looking at coach because put me in the game, coach. So you sit up that way. You get it? You sit up that way. Get it? So you sit up that way because you're trying to get in the game. Because you're ready to get I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go for whatever it is. And so now my expectation, it's almost like I sit up in church, and yesterday I wanted to scream. I went to cry seven, eight times. I wanted to scream. I started looking at people like, y'all, I can't believe you don't hear what I'm hearing. And the revelation come up, but it was because I'm ready. I came with the posture to be trained. I walked in those doors knowing, and I spoke to people that morning. Good morning. How you doing? Sometimes I wait a little longer because I don't really feel like doing all that talking before. We here about business. Yeah, are we going to pray for 45 minutes in intercessory prayer, and then you're going to talk to me 15 minutes walking across to the church, and you're going to take me totally out of all the prayer that I got. That ain't what we're here for. Here to be trained. Everybody say trained. Come on, everybody say trained. That's what it's about. You're dealing with people. You hold a spot in your church, or you are to train. It is not for no cutesy stuff. It's to be trained. Verse 17, this I say therefore, and we'll get on this a little later next time, and I have to get on this. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the what? In the vanity of the, what does it mean to be, you're so vain, I bet you think this song is about you, this is a song to be out, you're vain. What does it mean to be vain? The vanity, is long for vain. What does it mean to be vain? Come on, what does it mean to be vain? Vain, well, come on, I'm listening to you. Proud, come on. Self-absorbed, come on. Full of yourself. You actually think this is about you. So don't walk like these other Gentiles walk. And they're saying these people that ain't in the church. Don't walk like, see, everything outside of church, all right, watch this. Everything outside of Christ and everything outside of church and then everything outside of them is self-centered. That's why I say 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, right? When they be trying to preach that about church people, I don't, but the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they pierced themselves through, you know, you're talking about that? That's because that's self-absorbed. That's vanity. That's about what you want. You only do, people go to church vain. A lot of people go so on service or so on the stuff, and everybody church. A lot of people go so because they're trying to get something. You're trying to go pay something off. Listen, I understand about you paying something off. Cool, God will take care of that. He only told you to seek one thing. So now when you're giving, I'm teaching you how to give. Receiving is knee-jerk. It got to come. But I'm teaching your heart how to have a giving heart. I'm conditioning your heart to give. So now when you do pay your house off, right, and then you do have extra, where does it go? Who can you help? Who would you do something for? But on the inside, I'm training you how to give. Then I'm making you you got to give to the man of God. Huh? Because I'm training you how to give to men. you got to catch that training. You got to catch it all. Don't walk as the Gentiles, walk in the vanity of your mind. Now, I had a meeting yesterday with the worship team and the people that had problems. I got a couple people that got problems with what's going on, new wave in the worship. A couple people got problems. And, but the first thing they say is, first when they ask a question, they say, well, I, and you're lost right there because you thought it was about you. Every problem that I've ever seen in ministry with a new flow or a new move or somebody is because they walk in the vanity of their minds. They're either trying to push their way, what they want, or they're trying to save their way with their ego. Don't walk in the vanity of your mind. You cannot function in ministry in the vanity of your mind. Because the vanity of your mind is always going to be self-preserved first. But is that the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by what? The faith what? The faith of what? Not just by faith, the faith of what? Who is that? Jesus who? All right, we're going to finish that, all right? In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and then what? No, but he didn't give his tithes. What he gave? For me. That's what I'm supposed to be living by. So I'm walking in the vanity. Oh, what if Jesus would have been vain? Because Jesus, you know, Jesus had some stuff he could have been vain about, boy. Walking on water. Breaking bread, feeding about 10 to 15,000 people, right? Doing all these different things. Yeah. He had a few things. I don't even know if we'd have made it. I don't even know if we make it. See, we got to come up. Everybody say, come up. Do your hands. Come on, say, come up. Everybody say, come on, say, come up. Come on, say it again. We got to come up. Come on. We got to come up. We got to, Lord, lift us high. Lord, lift us up where we belong. Remember that song? We got to come up because I don't think that we get it. So we got to come up because if those things, if the works that I do, shall you do also in greater works than these because I go unto my Father. If we were doing the works that he do and greater works than he do, and the only greater because there's more of us. But if we were just doing the works that he do, I don't really know if our head could fit through the door. Tell the truth. Even from the nicest of us in here, you know what I'm saying? And we all would like to say, how? Not me. But go tomorrow. Go tomorrow and you walk on some water somewhere. You're going to be ready to testify. And then pastor's going to say, sit down. You ain't got no word today. What's happening now? You knew you walked on the water. We told you, sit down, shut up. You ain't got nothing to say right now. Uh-oh. Now you're going to testify at the other church that you done walked on the water and start your walk on water ministry. Walk on Water Ministries International. That's how it happens every day. We laughing about it. We laughing about it. That's how it happens. I see it every a couple times a year. Happens that way all the time. And so then, you know, you think about some of these miracles that Jesus did. You just do them like clockwork. Are we going to get a little vain? Can I be told? You know, because Jesus was like, and this is huge. This is huge. This is one of the hugest statements I ever heard Jesus say. He said, if I testify myself, my testimony ain't true. He's a Savior, though. He's a Savior. But he said, if I testify of myself, then it's not true. As I hear, I judge. Me and my Father are one. As I hear, I judge. I only do what my Father tells me to do. That's it. I only do what my Father tells me to do. That's it. I only do what my Father tells me to do, and that's it. If I testify of myself, I'm solely here to show y'all what the Father looked like. It's not about me. It's to show you. Come on, listen to me. Come on. Come on, you too. I'm solely here. I don't know what you thought you were here for. I don't know what we thought we were here for. I don't care how you got here. I don't care what your mom and daddy did to get you here. I don't care what kind of trouble it was. You are solely here to reveal the Father, this church. That's what church is. Solely here to reveal the Father. That's it. We got a lot of the things that we do, and a lot of the things we come up with, a lot of the ideas we come up with, but that ain't none of that. You are solely here to reveal the Father. That's it. Bottom line. So now you got to get trained, though. Everybody say trained. Come on, say, I got to be trained. Come on, say it again, I got to be trained. Come on, say it again, I got to be trained. See, I got to be trained, I got to be trained, I got to be broken down. This is what they do when they bring you to the army. They take and they break you down first. They break you. You've been in the military? You know, been in the military. They break you down first. They take you and they break you down and call you nothing. Cut your hair. Everybody bald head around. I don't care if your hair curly or not. All y'all shave. Is it the women shave their head? All y'all shaving your head. Whew. Shave my head, Lord. Get down and give me 50. You ain't nothing. What you said, you don't talk till I tell you talk. You ain't got no say-so. Grown men, grown women. No. I'm your daddy now. And they talk to you like that. And they break you down. Because you got to be broken in order to be built. Think about how much stuff we done picked up over the years that need to be broken down in us. Come on. No ministry right now. Let's talk about just you personally. Think about how much stuff that we done picked up over years and we holding on to it. And we don't think we hold on to it until that one thing happened. Then it all comes back flooding out, right? And we go back to that same thing. No. How about that stuff that got to be broken down in us? That training break it down, make you sweat it out. If you come there overweight, they're going to break you down to the right way. So you can function and float like you should flow. It's a breaking down. And what we got to be breaking down, no man should think more highly than he ought to think. But think soberly. For God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So in other words, you must think sober. You will not get to these miracles and get to these things and function like this until you've learned how to be sober. Regardless, never become intoxicated on your own success. Happens all day long. You do a few things, and now you think you're somebody. You're the same person you was before. You know, I said it last time, hold the hand right quick. Just hold the hand. You're nothing. That's what Jesus is doing on our behalf right now. He's standing there right now holding God's hand on our behalf and holding our hand with the other hand. That's exactly what he's doing. But you are one hand hold away from being who you used to be. That hand and that hand that you're supposed to be holding on with. One hand hold. Don't think more than you should. You one hand hold away. Now, he's not going to let go. But I'm just saying, this is how close it is. Ephesians 2 talking about, don't forget, you was just them Gentiles. So now we get on this side. I'm going to say this and I'm done. He who is in Christ is a new creature. Old things, we thought it was talking about drinking and smoking and all this other stuff, right? No. That go too, but those effects of the old man. But the old things are passed away, and behold, how many things come new? This scripture is talking about all things, come like him in all things, right? But say all things are made new. What it's saying is I got a new functioning. I got a new way to live. I got a new way of living. Remember this song? I got a new life divine. I'm singing like the old song. I got a new way to live. So because I got a new way to live, I cannot live this life in the vanity like the Gentiles. So I can't go up here and be vain. Vanity doesn't make it here. Vanity should have died. You get it? Did it. So now, training. Everybody say training. Next class, you're sitting there training. Straight up. It should be straight up training. Not just here. When you're going to church again, that's training. Right then, when next time you're going to preach, train it. Make sure you train the people. Don't tell no stories. Don't tell no cute little things about what happened to you down the street. I want you to train the people of God. When they leave out of there, they ought to be able to do something other than what they could do before they came in. When they leave out of there, they ought to be stronger than they were before they met you. The people that come into your life should be stronger than they are before they met you. They should not leave the same way they did when they met you. They should be stronger. Listen, you don't even need a church to have a congregation. You don't even need a church to have a place to preach. There's a place to preach everywhere. Preach to your children. Preach to your nieces and nephews and the people down the street. Preach to them. And you ain't got to preach to them and condemn them, but let your life be a message. You don't need a pulpit to preach. Get you a soapbox. Where your office at? They got somebody and they need to hear something. Somebody needs some praying for. So now we are broken down. We're broken down. We're training. Everybody say training. Come on, say it again, training. Come on, say it again, training. It ain't about no social club. It ain't about none of these things. And that's cool. Do all the little stuff. Cool. It ain't about none of that. It's all about training. I can get to the social club anywhere. Come on, we can go to, I got an email the other day. I guess probably because I'll be ordering too much food over there. Got an email from Chili's the other day. They got mother and son night. You want to go to have community coffee or something? What you want to do? That what you want to do? They doing that. They got mother and son night tonight, tomorrow, mother and son night. You want to go? You want to go talk to some people? We can go do that over there. That ain't what we here for. Well, work. Everybody say work. We had to put in that work. That's what we came for. And so it's training. So we ought to be able to, when we leave tonight, even when I finish this class, you got your other class too, but I'll never want you to have a class with me where you can't leave the class able to fight more than you could before you walked in. You should be stronger and more focused and more focused in on what you're supposed to be doing. That's the whole point. If that doesn't happen, if you ever hear a message that don't focus you more, it's not a message. Got a lot of preachers telling stories out there. I don't hear no stories. Amen.